Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 89 of Season 4 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we take a hilarious and poignant journey through the 1989 Billy Crystal Meg Ryan rom-com, When Harry Met Sally, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Dana Nachman, award-winning documentary director, producer, and a whole bunch of other different hats that she likes to wear all the time. Welcome back this season, Dana.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to have been able to find some time in your very busy schedule for you to join us, you know, even if it's just for one or two episodes. So that still works. That's great. So thank you for making the time.
Pleasure.
Yeah. So minute 89 begins with Sally making a decision and ends with Harry trying to cut Sally off at the pass. So, I mean, yesterday's episode, basically what we were showing, you know, this whole week, Harry's been reminiscing about everything that's happened over the last, I guess, almost 12 years, trying to make sense of everything, trying to figure out where he is and what he wants. And, you know, he comes to the decision that he wants to, you know, he goes out for a walk, he starts running. And, you know, this minute begins with him, you know, trying to get to this party, you know, the Tyler's party. You know, we don't know exactly where the party is. Hey, it's somewhere in New York, but you know he does like a whole trip all across New York just to get to this party in time. You know, so it's a good thing I don't know New York geography well enough to really know all the different places that he has jumped back and forth through. But you know, I know that it's not something that's just around the corner. That's for sure. Do you know New York geography at all?
I do. I'm from New York. Well, I'm not from the city, but I lived in the city. I went to NYU, but I can't really tell. Yeah. I didn't.
I mean, the editing makes it seem in some ways that it's somewhat close, but also somewhat far. You know, because like we saw that he was trying to grab a taxi.
Right.
You know, and then in the end he just runs it. So it's not as if the taxi really needed to take him very far. You know, just a few blocks.
And it's very notoriously hard to find a taxi on New Year's Eve in New York.
Especially, you know, moments before midnight.
Yeah, I bet, you know, I was just looking at the stairs going up to that party. I bet somebody could know where that is.
I'm sure they can. I mean, in the commentary, they don't mention where it is. I mean, Harry mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, when he was talking to Sally, asking her if she was going to the Tyler's party. Now, what makes it really funny for me, and I mean, I mentioned this before, but, you know, last year when they were at the party, it wasn't in this extravagant ballroom or anything like that. It looked like it was in someone's penthouse or something like that. So it doesn't sound as if it was the same people. You know, it's like, or maybe it is. Maybe it's the Tyler's, you know, last year did it in a penthouse and this year they're doing it in a ballroom. I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny they didn't do it in the same location.
Yeah, exactly. It would have worked much better.
But they
better.
Want the finale to be very, you know, grand, probably.
Yeah, of course. So. No, that's fine. So they should have put them last year also in the ballroom. You know,
yeah.
Because, like, it just was very strange that Harry says to Sally, you know, you're going to the Tyler's party. It makes it seem as if, okay, this is a party that we go to every year. You know,
right.
So, and it's just not the same. You know, and Sally, finally, she's just really fed up and decides she's, you know, she's lonely. She doesn't want to be in this place by herself. You know, the whole idea of being alone at the strike of midnight on New Year's, you know, she just doesn't want that. So, you know, right. She walks over to Jess and Marie and just says, all right, I'm going.
Yeah.
And the response that she gets is, hey, it's almost midnight. So then she says, well, the thought of not kissing somebody is just... And then Jess says, I'll kiss you. And right. It's actually pretty funny because, you know, up until now, we don't really see that she has had much interactions with Jess. You know, Marie is her best friend. Jess is Harry's best friend. And the times that they've interacted, you know, they had that bad date, you know, a year ago. But other than that, even at the wedding, we just saw, you know, that she was the maid of honor and that he makes a toast to them, you know, to Harry and Sally. But, you know, for him to offer to kiss her, you know, at midnight, it seems a little awkward. I mean, it is a friendly thing that he wants to do. He wants to do something for his wife's best friend. But it's just, you know, I don't know if that really is what, you know, she's looking for. I mean, when people are waiting at midnight for that midnight kiss, it's with someone who they love. It's not just, you know, I mean, Sally was talking last, was it 2 weeks ago about not wanting to be a consolation prize. You know, that's what she would be to Jess.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't really make sense, the whole thing. But I mean, I guess you could say it's somewhat chivalrous what he's offering anyway. You know, he is trying to keep his wife's best friend from running away from the party.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a throwaway line.
Yeah.
And there's not very many of those in this movie.
No. I mean, you know from you know being an expert on films and script writing and all that stuff. I mean, you know, this is good dialogue. A line like that's
that. So many good. I was noting that when I was watching the film. There's just so many memorable lines in it. Just so many off the very beginning of it, even. In the first few minutes, they're just iconic lines, really good dialogue.
Right. I mean, think about it. This movie came out 34 years ago. And, you know, a lot of the lines are still very quotable and very relevant today.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's a movie that really has stood the test of time, you know, at least over the last three decades.
You know. Yeah, it's awesome. I really enjoy it again this time.
Yeah, that's true. And then the scene changes and we get Harry, you know, he's once again still trying to flag down a taxi to go those few blocks that he needs to go, you know, and as you said, I mean, all the taxis are busy. They're full. And you see, I think there are two taxis that go by as he's trying to flag them down, you know. And the thing I find really funny is he's trying to flag down a taxi that's going the opposite direction of where he wants to go.
Right.
Because they're on the opposite side of the street. And then he just, you know, decides that he's still going to run it, you know, to go wherever this party is. You know, he goes through this crowd of, there's like these four people that are standing there with these like really funny hats. I don't know if you notice them in the background. They look like party hats that these people are wearing. You see them just for a fraction of a second. And then we go back into the party. And, you know, Marie is trying to convince Sally to stay. She goes, come on, stay, please. She goes, I just have to go. Oh, wait, two more minutes. And, you know, it's funny that at 11:58 is when she decides she wants to leave.
Yeah.
So you'd think that she would have wanted to have left much earlier if she was realizing. I guess it's because things are getting closer to that midnight point.
Yes.
You know, even though we've seen over the last few days how terrible of a time she's having, you know, with all these guys, you know, the guy who's trying to dance with her and the guy who's telling the, you know, the weird joke and all those things.
Right. So, she's trying to keep it together, but she can't.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she is appreciative of the fact that they're trying to keep her there. But, you know, I don't know. I just think it's strange that she's decided to leave at 11:58. You know, if I was in a situation where I didn't want to be there, I would leave maybe a half hour before, you know, I wouldn't wait until the very, very last minute. What is she hoping that she'll like meet someone who she will want to kiss at midnight?
Yeah, she just has had it.
Yeah, that's true. And then the shot goes back and we get to see Harry running again. And it's just really funny watching Billy Crystal run here. Because he's, you know, the way that it's shot, it looks like he's overexerting himself, you know, more than he should be with the way that he's running, you know, especially when they'd have the close up of him doing it, you know, where we see him from, you know, we see him like running towards us, basically just his face. You know, you think that's like a fake shot of him running?
I don't think so.
Because
I mean,
it means the person in the camera has to, you know, they have to have it on a dolly that's going to go back and catch him as he's running towards them, and stay at the but they also stay at the same distance the whole time.
Right.
You know, this was before they used steady cams.
Maybe, but it's moving. I don't know. You mean right before he turns the corner?
Yeah, right before he turns the corner.
I don't know, because the background's moving. I think it's real.
I'm sure it's very possible it's real. I mean, you know more from the aspect of how you would frame a shot like this. You know, how would if you didn't have a steady cam, because I don't think they had steady cams that they were really using in 1989. you know.
Yeah, I would put that on a, like, on a car or some kind of a golf cart or something.
But how would you keep the same distance the whole time from the
it's
actor?
Not that long. Look how not long it is. It's 1, 2, 3, 4. It's like 5 seconds, and you could see it does change a little bit in the middle. I'd say that they could get 5 seconds worth.
Oh, that's you're right. Yeah, I see. I see that it doesn't move back and forth. You're right. Okay, so it is. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's on a car or a golf cart. You're right. See, I need you for things like this. That, you know, you can tell me how things practically are done.
I mean, I don't know for sure, but that's what I would. That's how I would first go to do it. And I think with regard to like him really running, like around that corner, he's really all out sprinting. And I think, you know, the clock is ticking literally to midnight. And so I think he wants. Yeah. So I think that pressure, he's trying to get there before midnight. She wants to leave before midnight. So that pressure is coming together from both ends. That's what I think is pretty amazing about this. The tension is ratcheted up because of the time, even though it's kind of arbitrary to worry about, you know, New Year's on the, you know, when the ball drops, but I think that's what they're trying to do here is ratchet up the tension.
Right. That's true. And I mean, you could probably explain this better than I could, but I like the fact that you see him running from right to left and she's getting ready to leave left to right.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right to left. Even when he goes into the
door? No, when you see him turn the corner, he's running towards us. He's coming from the right hand side, you know, before mm-hmm. he gets to the door.
Yeah.
And then when she's leaving, she's going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, that's really good. Really nice.
You know, that's just to make us think that that they're actually walking towards each other, right?
Yeah. Yep. It's right. Really good.
Right. And I love how he struggles to open the door when he's trying to get in.
Yeah. I wonder how many times they had to do that.
I don't know. There are scenes here that on the commentary that with there's a commentary track with Rob Reiner, Nora Ephron, and Billy Crystal, and there are a few scenes where they said they did them about 60 times. You know, the scene where the four of them are on the phone, you know, while Jeff and Maria are in bed. Yeah. They said that I think Rob Reiner said they did that 62 times or something like that, and they got it almost perfect at 50 something, and then one of them flubbed something at the very end, so they needed to redo it.
Oh wow.
And I think they said they did the orgasm scene 20 times or something like that.
Oh, that's a lot of effort.
Yeah, well, I mean that was something we discussed weeks ago. That was Meg Ryan's idea to have that take place in a deli, you know, in front of a whole crowd of people. Uh-huh. You know, but the thing I find the funniest about it is that apparently Rob Reiner needed to show her how that scene should be done, and he sat there and played her part, you know, for one of the takes.
That's funny.
Yeah, and he said that you know, you've never been anywhere until you needed to fake an orgasm in front of your mother, because his mother plays the woman, you know, who says, "I'll have what she's having."
I'll have what she's having. Oh, yeah. That's so funny.
Yes,
that's pretty funny.
Yeah. And then we see Sally walking, you know, trying to leave. And then she looks and we see like surprise on her face. And then Harry, you know, comes up the stairs, still completely exhausted. You can see that he's sweating from his run. You know, he's looking around trying to find Sally, but she's already found him. Mm-hmm. And she's a little shocked that he's there. And I, you know, she's like, she doesn't smile. But what do you think is going through her mind at this point? Do you think she's like, what is he doing here? Or I'm actually somewhat grateful that he's here.
I thought her look was like resolve, like not to talk to him. That's what I thought that look was.
Okay. You mean he's here, but I don't want to have anything to do with him still.
Yes. That's what I thought.
So maybe she's thinking to herself, you know, I can't believe that he's here. You know, why is he bothering me? why is he still after me? Why is he stalking
me? I mean, I think she kind of knows. And she's like, I'm not buying it. That's what I took from it.
Okay. That's a fair assessment of the whole thing. And then Harry, the shot goes back to Harry, and he finally sees her and starts walking towards the camera, apparently, you know, towards Sally, as, yeah. You know, where she's standing there. And I like the way they do this. I like the, I mean, apparently in the original script they didn't get together in the end, and they
Oh,
decided,
really?
yeah, they decided that you know, they needed to have these two characters get together. There's,
Huh.
you know, and I think it works.
When did they make that decision? When they were shooting or before?
Beforehand. Actually, did they? I don't remember if I'm trying to remember if when I was listening to the commentary, they said that they filmed it and then changed it. I don't
Oh, wow.
remember. I don't remember at this point.
Huh. I'll have to listen to the commentary.
Yeah. What's your history with this movie? Do you remember like when you first saw this?
I do. Yeah, I saw it. Did it come out in the summer?
Yes.
Because I saw it in the
Yes.
summer.
Came out in
Yeah,
July. July 14th or 15th, if I remember correctly.
we were on vacation in the Jersey Shore, and it was my parents and two friends and I, and we rented a house and we went to see it there. I remember very specifically.
Oh wow. Yeah, no, so it was the 21st of July it came out in 1989.
Yeah. It was awesome. Great film. I mean, so I was like a junior in high school. So it's really interesting to, I mean, I probably love it more now,
Were
but
you
then
do you remember if you were embarrassed to watch parts of it with your parents?
I don't know. I think they were sitting, I don't really remember them like right next to me. Like maybe they were sitting, you know, my friends were there, so maybe we were sitting by ourselves. I don't know. I don't remember that exactly, but I do remember a couple years later, I was in college and I had a very close guy friend, and it was always a recurring theme that he said, "Oh, girls and guys can't be friends." And that always became, we were very good friends, and it always became a recurring, you know, question. It's like this, I guess this still, and like you said before, it's an enduring question of whether it can or can't be.
All right. And is
So
your opinion of that question different now than it was then?
I think I always thought men and women could be friends, and I still think that. So
But this
I think no.
close? That's you see, that's the distinction that I would make here. You know, I would say that men and women can be friends, but to be as close as Harry and Sally were for this entire, you know, year, I think
Oh,
they
like
I
the
think at
last
some
year?
point they crossed the point of no return, I guess you can say, before they even had sex.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it has to stop some, like there has to be something about the person that you find too annoying to be with romantically that, like, you know, and if you don't find that, then yeah, then it's a problem.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, or just not compatible, you know, like
Right.
we don't have the same in, I mean, yeah,
Right.
he needs a little something extra.
I guess so. So, is there anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
No, I mean I'm just like kind of parked on the last shot, and I love like the framing of that shot is so great, you know, with the lights, the tree, there's a tree with lights on it, on the right third, and then he's in the center, and then there's a extra behind him. I mean, just it's so good. Everything about it is so just, yeah, it's really a great shot.
Right.
Her shot's also great with like all that happening behind her, you know, bokeh like that, and the lights of the party, like it's just great, and the balloons. Yeah, no, I think the shots are, the running shots, like you said, are great. I mean, just they're also perfectly done.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think it's great. And it's also a great spot for this minute to end.
Yeah.
You know, for us to have that cliffhanger till tomorrow. You know, about the way that it sets things up. You know, it's not in the middle of their conversation. It's right before, you know, you can see that they both have something to say. You know, so you
Right.
know, from that we'll have to wait until tomorrow to hear what they have to say. So
Right, right, right.
the script is pretty much the same thing. It's very descriptive for this minute. There isn't very much. I mean, we didn't have any dialogue either, but we had very little dialogue between, you know, Jess Marie and Sally. So it says here,
Right.
it's almost midnight. Balloons, confetti, and mirrored ball spinning slowly around. The excitement in the room builds as we approach midnight. We see Sally with a group of friends, including Jess and Marie. So you say that's interesting. They make it in the movie. It seems as if she's only there with Jess and Marie. But, the script makes it sound as if there's a whole group of friends there, which I think maybe she would feel more comfortable if she was with a group of friends as opposed to just being with one couple.
It also doesn't seem like she's with a group of friends in this
No,
minute.
that's what
Is
I'm
this
saying.
before that?
No, that's what I'm saying. In the
I mean,
script, it says that they're with a group of friends.
right. Yeah, no, it doesn't. In this minute, it doesn't seem like that at all.
No, not even the minutes that we just discussed the last few days. It seems
Yeah.
as if she's basically, she feels like a third wielder the whole time.
Yeah. Or I was actually wondering at first whether she had a date and it just wasn't a very good date.
Well, she was dancing with somebody earlier in this week. So is that her date or not?
Yeah.
I mean, we discussed it a little
Right.
bit a few days ago, but I don't know. Don't really know if
Yeah.
that was really, because the guy who was telling a joke was someone
Really
else.
matter. Yeah.
So it's a little strange if it was, she was there with someone on a date and then, she was started talking to somebody else also. I don't know.
Right.
Right. And then it says, then we have the dialogue that says, "I'm going." And Marie says, "It's almost midnight." And she says, "I can't stand the thought of not kissing somebody." So then Jess says, "Big deal. I'll kiss you." So I'm glad they cut out that big deal because that the "I'll kiss you" was a throwaway line, as we mentioned before. But him saying "big deal, I'll kiss you," that makes it seem as if it's even less impactful, the fact
Yeah.
that that he's offering that. And she goes, "Thanks, Jess,
Yeah.
but I have to go." And
Yeah.
then it says, "Harry is still running, looking for a cab. He can't find one. He keeps running. Sally at the closet, putting on her coat. Harry running down the street. Sally is kissing Jess and Marie goodbye. Wait 2 more minutes." Sally says, "I'll call you tomorrow." She turns to go. She stops dead in her tracks. It's Harry. Slowly, he comes towards her and stops in front of her. So, I mean, that's pretty much. I mean, I love the. I mean, you as someone who has written scripts and stuff like that. Do you usually, I mean, I know you mostly do documentaries, but do you try to be as descriptive as possible in the script itself? Or do you just let things flow later on? Do you let the people who you're filming decide how they want to do things?
I think it's always best to have like the script be as descriptive as possible because you can't get anybody to be in your film or collaborate with you in your film unless they like what's on the page. And then after it's on the page, it really like actually I was just talking to a friend, a director friend of mine this morning and saying how the script that we read, she said, "Oh, did you like it?" And I said, "Oh, I liked it." And I didn't like love it, but and she said, "Oh, but the actors make it their own." And so I think the actors do make it their own, and the DP makes it their own. Everybody does that, but I think this, in order to get people involved, you have to make sure that they like it by what's on the page, and then it only gets better from there.
Right. Okay. That's fair. Because I mean, one of the things that, I mean, every day we've been talking about the script, and there are some significant changes that were made. There, most of the scenes are in there. I think that we had maybe two scenes that were completely cut out from the shooting script. There are lines that were changed here and there, and as we pointed out even today, there's a little bit of changes in the descriptions sometimes, but overall, it's pretty much pretty faithful to the script that I have here.
Yeah, and what do you remember, was this Nora Ephron's first big script?
This wasn't her first, this was her first rom-com, I think, because she did Heartburn beforehand, which was based on a book that she had written, about her own divorce from Bernstein.
Right. Yeah, because I think like the more the reason I ask is like the more established, well, A, the I mean the script is so
Right.
amazing
She wrote
that how could
Silkwood
anybody not
also
love it?
beforehand. She wrote Cookie.
Oh yeah.
Right. So this was the first rom-com.
Yeah, so I think like the more established the writer is, the less people are gonna futz with it. And so that gives them more, the studios probably will get in the way less too. So she had a lot of credibility at this point. And it was just so great, undeniably.
Yeah. No, but I think it's
Yeah.
also has to do with the fact that this was a full collaboration with Rob Reiner, who was directing.
Right. Right.
Harry is somewhat based on Rob Reiner, and Sally is based on Nora Ephron.
Right.
So maybe that was also part of it, because Rob Reiner was very hot at this point in Hollywood.
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
from
And if you had her back,
that's right,
yeah.
from the mid-80s, you know, to the beginning of the 90s, he was untouchable and he had so many great hits. So,
Right.
you know, if he was backing this completely, you know, even if Nora was had only written, you know, three movies beforehand, this is probably actually this is probably her biggest hit also of everything that she's done.
Yeah.
Even though she did direct also and stuff like that, you know, she did Sleepless and she also did You've Got Mail. But I don't think that there's anything that she made that was bigger than this.
Yeah, I mean, it was just so, it's like always on every list as the top number one rom-com of all
Well,
time,
we'll get
you
there.
know?
We'll get there tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll get your list of what you think are the top rom-coms. You know, but
Oh,
yeah.
yeah.
We'll have to wait until tomorrow, but yeah, I think you're giving us a little bit of a preview of what everyone thinks, not necessarily what Dana thinks. So
Right,
we'll have
exactly.
to wait and see about that one.
Exactly.
So every Thursday we have a segment called Off the Beaten Track, Dating Courting Edition, where my guest will give some sort of adventure, misadventure, story, anecdote about something that happened to them over the course of their life that has something to do with either dating or courting. So, Dana, you have a story for us?
Yes. So it was like I could do a 1-2 punch. So they both involve, well, I won't give the ending. But so the first date, well, I will say they were both with my now husband. So
Okay.
you could, it was a good ending. But so our first date was we met online on a site called JDate, which is for Jewish
Yeah,
people.
I'm familiar with JD. No,
Oh, does it? Yeah, it's not just in America.
no,
Okay,
no,
so
no,
yeah, so
no.
JDate.
There are Jews in Israel too.
Oh really?
What a
Oh
surprise. I
wow.
mean, again, I haven't used it in 20 something years, but yeah, I don't even know if it's still around.
Right. So yeah, I don't know either. I bet it is. So we met on JDate, and I actually had just broken up with somebody, and my mom was like, "You should go on JDate." And so I just did it kind of as a lark. And so I wrote to two people, and my husband was one of them, and he and I were going on a date, so he recommended we go to this restaurant, like a Cuban restaurant that was like, I didn't know this at the time, but it was literally like he could walk there from his house. And so I had to drive, it was like a different city, so I drove like a half hour. So he was like putting as little effort as possible in this date. And then, but I have to say, just so that I'm not painting myself as the best, but I was super late. Like I was really, really late, like at least a half hour. I was like doing something with a friend and just, I don't know. So I was late. He was waiting. And it turned out the restaurant was closed. So he didn't even bother to like check that it was open. It was like a Sunday night and it was closed. So, but we ended up going to a bar, like a dive bar that was near right down the street from there. Really cool. And so it was actually meant to be because instead of it being kind of like this nice restaurant, we ended up at this like dive bar that had like peanut shells on the ground, and we both really liked that. And it was really fun. And then it became like we would go there for every anniversary, and we would go there like we brought our kids. They really liked people who met at this bar. It was
Oh,
like
wow.
a it, we lived near Stanford University, so it was like a Stanford hangout. It sadly closed during COVID, but it was a very famous bar that was open forever. So that was our first date, but then our third date was really, I thought, really funny because he called up and was like, it had just we were both skiers, and he's like, there's really good conditions, do you want to go skiing tomorrow? And I was out for brunch with some friends, and I was like, let me call you back. And then I went back to my brunch with my friends. I was like, I don't know, that's like a big commitment, like it takes like 3 hours to drive there, and then you ski all day with somebody, and then 3 hours home. I'm like, that's a pretty big commitment. Like, I don't know if we'll have enough to talk about and whatever. They were like, oh, you should just go. And so then he showed up at my house at like 6 a.m. with donuts, and we went, and then we were in the parking lot, and then his brother like saunters over. I was like, is this like a setup? Like, and so his brother, but it turns out now I obviously know them a lot better, but like they just happened to see each other
It wasn't
and
planned.
like, no, it wasn't. And we skied with his brother all day. And then on the way home, he's like, so that was fun. And it was fun meeting his brother on the way home. He's like, do you want to stop in and meet my parents? Because like they lived like halfway between like where the ski mountains are and San Francisco. And I was like, All right. I mean, it was just so strange to like meet somebody's parents on the third date,
Yeah,
you know? And
seriously.
I was, the whole thing was like, and now I was like, what were you thinking? That's a little crazy. He's like, I actually don't know. I don't know what I was thinking. And
Yeah,
so
but if it
it
worked
just
out,
came
then who
very
cares?
fast.
You know, it.
Yeah. And I could tell at that meeting, his mom was very interested to know if I was Jewish. Like that was something that was like, you could see she was fishing to know.
She didn't know that you met on
Yeah.
J-Date.
No, she didn't know anything. Like, I don't even think they knew. Like, you know, I mean, we'd only know each other for like a week. And so it was
Well, if
very
they would have
funny.
said,
Anyway.
if he would have introduced you as Dana Nachman, I think your parents would have figured it
Yeah,
out.
they didn't.
You
Yeah, he didn't do that.
know.
So anyway, that was pretty funny. Like, he was kind of potentially botching all of our first dates, but it worked out.
Hey, why not? Does he still do that after all these years?
Which part? Botched
Yeah.
dates? We don't go on really any dates.
Okay.
So I guess, yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
He owes me a lot of dates because he just broke his leg skiing about 6 weeks ago. So like I am the house servant, so he's gonna owe me lots of dates when we're finished with this.
Oh, okay.
Yes, but he's doing
Okay,
better.
good. I'm glad to hear that. All right. So because you weren't with us at the beginning of the week, we usually do this on Monday, but I still want to get your opinion on this. So every Monday we have a segment called Meg Ryan Monday, where my guests will give their top five Meg Ryan performances. So Dana, what have you got for us? Start with your number five and work your way up.
Okay, I'd say number five is Top Gun. That was a very small part, but really impactful. Four is City of Angels. Three is Sleepless in Seattle. Two is You've Got Mail. And one is When Harry Met Sally.
All right, very cool. Okay, so also since you weren't with us yesterday, so every Wednesday we have a segment called Harry Burns Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Billy Crystal performances. So Dana, you want to give us those also?
Sure. Okay. Number five would be Monsters, Inc. Number four would be Spinal Tap. Number three would be Princess Bride. Two is Analyze This, and one is When Harry Met Sally.
Okay, very cool, very cool. All right, so Dana, you want to tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. I have a website, dananachman.com. You can get my email from there. And I'm on Instagram. I think Dana.Nachman at Instagram. That's about it.
Okay, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on my website, moverupminute.com. So, Dana, you feel like coming back tomorrow to finish off the week with us? Maybe we'll actually get some
Sure.
dialogue between Harry and Sally.
Yes, sure.
Right, great. So, until tomorrow, I'll have what she's having.
I'll have what she's having.
Gave me a thrill with all your faults. I love you still. It had to be you. Wonderful you. Had to be you.